You picked a great day to be tuned in today. Thank you for doing that. There's a lot of choices you can make in terms of listening to the radio, and I'm really glad, and not to mention other things you could be doing. I'm glad you chose today to be tuned in because I'm just tickled that we have Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson here with us. I've been a fan of each of theirs for a long time. Beautiful voices and instrumentalists, and you've heard them played on the air for years and years and years here, and you'll get to know them a little bit this hour, as well as hear some of their music. So please join me in welcoming Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson.
Start with a song that's based on a story told by a friend of ours about a time when he was a young boy and his father got him up in the middle of the night to go for a walk. Oh, my father's name was Jim. I was more than fond of him. He's a man could tell you things you'd want to know. Though it's long and far away, I remember well the day he took me rambling through the fields before the dawn. One midsummer's early morn, he wouldn't say where we were going. He's a man could keep a secret, don't you know. Through the meadow, dark and still, to the top of Kingston Hill, he took me walking long before the rooster crowed. Jim turned around, lit his pipe, settled down, put an apple in my mouth to hold my tongue. Settled silent on the ground with the twinkling stars around us, and we waited for the coming of the sun. Sky glowed day, put the stars out one by one till the red rim of the sun rose in the gap between the hills so far away. The rustling of the day, we saw the world awaken in the moment when the light and shadow dance. The village at our feet threw off the cloak of night, and we watched it come to life as light advanced. Gone now many years, but I still can hear his voice as he rose to stretch the stiffness from his legs. He stood up and said to me, "Isn't that a sight to see, child? It's a dawning you'll remember all your days. Some things happen only once, some come every day in the journey from the cradle to the grave. But while we live and breathe, such beauty we can see. And I remember still that dawn as clear as day."
Oh, that's just beautiful. Thank you.
Well, it was almost in tune.
A little early in the morning for being in tune.
Well, you know.
We got these strings up real early this morning, and they go, you know, give me more coffee.
We fix it up. We capture the electrons, and we tell them.
Yeah, Jeff can kind of tune it up in the mix.
Yeah, we tell them what to do.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a pretty song. How did you two meet?
We met at a folk festival in Rochester, New York, the Golden Link Festival in 1988, September of 88. A lot of mutual friends that we'd known over the years. We just hadn't run into each other.
We were introduced by Ann Hills.
Yes.
Actually. Huh.
And I've never forgiven her. No.
She's never forgiven herself. I don't know.
Well, and I think my first encounter with Cindy was your singing with Ann and with Priscilla Herdman.
Okay.
At least I'm, you know,
yeah,
it gets
started
hurt.
Started in, the late 1980s.
Yeah, that was their first concert as a trio. It was at that same festival,
that's
Golden
right.
Link.
Yeah.
And they had already, or I guess right
yeah,
then
we had
you were recording.
With Priscilla a little bit, but. Mm-hmm.
The two of the CDs you recorded. There are two as a trio. There's
it's
Voices.
Three trio.
And two
Voices
with Ann.
Of Winter and then yeah. Turning of the Year.
And they get, that's right, A Turning of the Year is such a beautiful song, but the Silken Dreams gets requested.
That's
that
Ann's
song,
yeah.
Especially for this area and for your area too,
yeah.
In Vermont, that song is really loved. And
there's an old mill for sale right across the street from us.
Yes,
as we
it's
speak.
True.
Wow.
A small mill on a little stream, a little waterfall that they use the power.
Quite picturesque if anybody's looking
anybody
for a mill.
Anybody has
yeah.
a few hundred thousand dollars to spare. And
not quite the same.
Any
as
children
the
out there with their piggy banks?
Well, you have to figure out what we make in today's service economy. You could make cash register covers or like spatula cozies for hamburger flippers. And, you know, there's all these different things you could potentially do.
Up until recently, the mill was a rug-making business where they made artistic and beautiful hooked rugs.
They would
again,
buy the wool from New Zealand sheep and dye it in the mill and then farm it out to people in the communities, cottage industries really, to do the rug hooking at home.
Oh, that's
so. But they just couldn't compete anymore.
They're beautiful rugs, but they're expensive. So much hand.
They would make you a rug with a picture of your dog and your SUV and whatever you want.
Some special
there was a
orders.
Woman who wanted a hooked rug with her, she in her SUV with her cell phone and her dog.
And I think she was towing her trailer, too.
I believe she might have
and
been.
And I think she was on her cell phone. That's right. Yeah. Well, we joke, but it's our local economy.
Oh, yeah. And
locally here. You never know who's going to be out there listening, you know. I mean, we were driving through Chicago once, and one of our neighbors is a writer named Jamaica Kincaid, and she was on the radio in Chicago, and she was talking about where she lived, and she lives in her town.
Talking
so it was like being a spy
yeah.
listening to her talk about her neighborhood.
What's she saying about us?
Yeah. Radio is really something
that
way.
Especially now that anyone can listen anywhere.
Yeah, we permeate. And the hometown is Bennington?
North Bennington.
And I've only been to Vermont once. I've been to Newport, Vermont.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Up.
Sure.
On
the lake, yeah.
Very pretty. Was only there for, probably half a day. I wish I could have been there longer.
It's beautiful. Although we were joking last night that right now the leaves in the hills between State College and here, we drove over from Altoona that way.
That's beautiful.
And it was the leaves here are a little more red
more
and beautiful
than
up where we live. We may have another week to go yet before they
We'll
hit
give it week. A couple more days and head home.
Yeah. Steve Gillette and Cindy Maxson are here. If you are up near the Erie area or maybe don't get too far from West Virginia, I'll tell you in a little bit about some dates that they have there. You might, if you're listening in Mercer County, for example, you might be able to head up to Erie to hear them a little later. I'm assuming those are still on. I was just checking your schedule. So I'll share those with you. You might want to get a pencil to jot them down. But why don't we listen to another song?
We thought we'd do one from our good friends Lou and Peter Berryman. We've slowly been stealing their whole repertoire. And we really love them. They're wonderful people, and they're so creative and so great sense of humor. And so we've been borrowing. This one is called The Odd Man Out.
You have to listen closely to this song.
You have to listen very closely. 2, 3, 4. If your lover won't come over, and when you call they're about as warm as an ice cube, and your deck of cards is lost and it's raining and there's nothing good on the boob tube, here's a game you play alone and you never have to leave the warmth of your armchair. It's your job to try and figure out which word in each grouping doesn't belong there. Harpo, Ringo, Zorro, Julio, Zeppo, Chico, Stucco, Mario, Groucho, two C's in that one.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Pet World, Uranus, Pluto.
One pair, two pair, mayonnaise, three of a kind, straight flush, full house, four of a kind, straight flush.
Car theft, robbery, mugging, burglary, romance, hijack, arson, larceny, hairbrush.
Alpha, beta, gamma, epsilon, delta, zeta, theta, Dracula, sigma.
Aries, Virgo, Leo, Gemini, Cancer, Taurus, Nisan, Capricorn, Libra.
Monet, Manet, Van Gogh, Salvador, Dali, Sneezy, Cezanne, Delacroix, Renoir.
Earthquake, typhoon, mudslide, hurricane, romance, blizzard, firestorm, tidal wave, nut bar.
Sister, brother, father, son-in-law, uncle, cousin, nephew, W, daughter.
Whiskey, vodka, champagne, creme de menthe, brandy, ouzo, Pernod, muscatel, water.
Southeast, northwest, northeast, north by northwest, due north, due east, Drew Barrymore, due south.
Headache, earache, heartburn, stomach flu, romance, toothache, sore throat, muscle ache, big mouth.
Freon, neon, xenon, Oregon.
Cotton, rayon, Orlon, Al-Anon.
Phone ring, earring, gold ring, slobbering.
Hardee's, Wendy's, Rabies, Burger King. Toaster, freezer, washer, opener, blender, mixer, anger, vegetable steamer.
Hip bone, heel bone, tailbone, fibula, cheekbone, jawbone, trombone, scapula, femur.
Desk lamp, lantern, flashlight, photo flood, headlight, dome light, nightlight, cellulite, sun lamp.
Puzzler, baffler, cipher, cryptogram, romance, riddle, mystery, question mark, off ramp. Puzzler, baffler, cipher, cryptogram, romance, riddle, mystery, question mark, off ramp.
That's Steve Gillette and Cindy Mix.
You might have to look up some of those words.
You know, I'd like to think that people that know them would have immediately identified that as Lou and Peter Berryman.
Yeah.
Those Berrymans are so special.
If it's a peculiar song, chances are it's either written by Lou and Peter Berryman or Mark Graham.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mark, and I know you've done some of Mark's songs, too. Yeah.
He's wonderful.
Great songwriter.
Well, the wordsmith work is so amazing. It's like fine carpentry. You know, Peter really does he goes the full distance. We always joke that not only can you rely on him to go the full measure and really work on it, but you can rely on him to go at least one step too far, you know, which we love because we're twisted that way.
Now, and you've, Cindy, I don't know if you, are you writing as much?
You know, over the years, I mean, I write, a song a year is really good for me,
yeah.
But I
yeah.
like them all. So over the years, probably a dozen songs or so.
And Steve's probably the more of the writer, I guess.
I would not say more prolific because I'm probably a song a year man too. But
he's just so much older.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I go way back. And I'm just more, I like to think more careful.
You
I don't
started
know.
Started writing early.
So. Maybe I'm more, what do I mean to say?
Modest.
I think modest.
I think modest is what you mean to say.
Maybe, well, but more maniacal about it. I don't know. More. Anyway, I'm more
I'm not tied up. Yeah.
Self-critical.
I think because you wrote for other people a lot, you had different priorities in your writing too a little bit.
Well, for years I did work in the music industry, but I think Cindy and I have a wonderful freedom now to just write for the people we like to play for. So we feel like we'll be understood on a level that you can't really expect when you're writing that 2 minutes and 28 second pop song about dating. You know?
How long did you do that? Right,
much too long. No.
Yeah,
I've been recovering.
Almost ruined him.
Recovered
Can't you tell?
Songwriter. Well, I had a good situation. A staff writer, kind of being paid to be a writer, it seemed to me like the ideal thing until I began to enjoy the luxury of being able to study and read and do the kind of writing. And then I really realized there was more in the world than the top 40, even though that was every week you had to sort of justify yourself in those terms.
But I can imagine. And actually, once the novelty wore off, maybe, or after a while, it probably, I don't know, I would think you'd feel pretty pressured to come up with things.
Absolutely.
And also confined and constrained.
Yeah, and you know, I still, like an old fire horse, my heart races when I hear something exciting on the radio, and I think, wow, that's so great to think you can reach millions of people and your song can be the song of your generation or of that summer. You know, everybody was singing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, as they say in the song. But really what it comes down to is trying to give the corporation what it needs to maintain its, you know, market share or whatever, and that gets to be, you know, like I say, Cindy and I are wonderfully free to be anarchistic and radical, and
it's such a different business now than it was.
Mm-hmm.
When you were young, yeah.
And Nashville too. I worked.
She
in
meant
Nashville
to say, excuse me, when you were younger.
Younger,
is,
but
I just wanted
it's
to.
True.
No, we worked for every one of these white hairs.
we're feeling. I don't know. We keep congratulating ourselves on playing for the nicest audience and the most loyal and the most, and we expect a certain level of history. You know, people really come, not a lot of people, but enough people come, and they seem to come with 40 years or so of, you know, they've been through it all, the civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, all the songs, all the protests, all the meaningful work that we like to think brought us this far. So,
well, there's a lot, and younger people too, there's plenty of people that can and actually prefer a more complex or higher road than we would be led to believe by some of the things that are thrown at us day in and day out. So it looks like you're poised for another song.
You want to do Johnny Appleseed or something?
Well, you know, I was thinking of a romantic song. We were talking about the leaves, and this is a song. I guess it's okay to say I'm proud of this song, but it's a song that talks about our part of the world in Vermont, and talks about places we walk and things we see. And of course, this time of the year is always really special. We always introduce it as a Vermont love song, and then we joke about the fact that sometimes there'll be a little bit of laughter. You know, people don't think of the Vermonters as the romantic ideal, but
it's too cold.
It's too cold, yeah. Too many layers. But anyway, it's called The First Leaves. There is a moment when the dark spell of winter is broken by the promise of the spring. When we walk the mile woods in the first hours of the morning and arrive with all the world awakening. And I am nurtured by your presence, root and branch and blossom, and the soft rain shining in your hair. And when the first leaves fall, no matter where you are, I want to be there. There is a moment in the high green summer when the long sweet days give way to shadow, when we lay together beside the open window and watch the fireflies like stars upon the meadow. And there's an unspoken wisdom in the motion of the trees, eternity stirring in the air. And when the first leaves fall, no matter where you are, I want to be there. I want to be the one you turn to when the frost is on the fence post and the cold traveler moon stands alone. When all that remains of the warm rains of summer is the mist on the mill pond below.
'cause yours is the yearning that gives meaning to my own. In the silence, when the wish becomes a prayer, when the first leaves fall, no matter where you are, I want to be there. When the first leaves fall, no matter where you are, I want to be there.
What a pretty song, especially for this time of year. Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson. I wanted to be sure I let you know, I sort of started to mention it before, but you're headed off, not to let you know, but to let our let people listening know. I think you know your schedule, but you're headed off to West Virginia tonight. Ken and Tika were kind enough to have you here last night. I hope you got a good turnout. And I would have been there if it weren't past my 7 o'clock bedtime. tonight, you're headed over to the Laurel Mountain Coffee House in Kingwood, West Virginia. You can go to compassrosemusic.com. But I especially wanted to let you know that tomorrow, Steve and Cindy have a coffee house concert at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Erie. So that's not too far, especially if you're listening on our Grove City affiliate right now. And you can get more information at 814-440-9063. 814-440-9063. It's not, it's really an opportunity to take advantage of. It's very, it's a fleeting moment when you get a chance to hear great people that come through town. Because
and really live music, that's the joy of live music, is it's just a moment, it's gone, you know, but it's sort of our ritual. Whenever we get to go to a concert, you realize, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be part of.
Yeah, it can be kind of accidental too. And I've mentioned Ricky and I years ago, accidentally saw Brooks Williams at a friend's meeting house in Tampa. And we just happened to be vacationing in Florida and listening to the community radio station there, WMNF. Mm-hmm. They mentioned it. It took us a long time to figure out, like, you know, because the phone number was wrong. Yeah. We had to kind of do.
Yeah, I think we know where you were.
We know that.
Yeah.
We know that little town very well.
I remember that concert more vividly than things that happened to me last week.
Yeah.
And so, you know, consider getting up to see Steve and Cindy. And also, there's such a range of CDs at their website. Plus, I didn't know you had a songwriting tutorial there. I just happened to be looking at that.
Well, Mark Moss, you know, the editor of Sing Out magazine, Sing Out published my book, Songwriting and the Creative Process, and Mark gave me permission to put those articles up there, and it was kind of them because it's kind of an entry point for people who, especially people who love to write or are discovering writing, but just would love to know if there's any sort of codified or, you know, any sort of path for them. And so we encourage people to tune into it.
Yeah, and Cindy's Cats CD is out there too.
All cats, all the time.
All cats.
That's right. We have two.
And, well, our cat kind of made me make that album because there was a picture of our cat Alice, and she thought that would be quite a nice album cover,
and a lot
so
of good
she
songs.
Kind of made me learn and write enough songs to do a whole
songs
album about cats.
Songs kind of came to you too, Buddy Mondlock, and actually Florida, our friend
Grant Livingston.
Grant Livingston, we shared the bill with Grant, and he had a wonderful song about a cat.
I kept collecting cat songs until I realized I had enough.
Oscar Brand did a great album about cats too, and Buddy Mondlock. Great songwriter.
Yeah, and Cheryl Wheeler has a song on there.
Yeah, Cheryl Wheeler too. The one thing that distinguishes Cindy's project, we like to say, is that no cats were injured or hurt.
Well,
there was no malevolence towards
Rudy
cats.
Rudy the cat had a rough
Rudy
night,
made
but
a big
lived.
Mistake.
He lived through it.
Yeah.
He put his head in a garbage disposal.
Oh my.
And that's what actually started the album off, that story, which was a cat from Pennsylvania, Rudy, who lived through this episode of of putting his head in a garbage disposal. And
this might be a good time to sing that song.
You think?
All right.
I hope it has a happy ending.
Oh, it does. It does. I always tell people at the beginning that Rudy's okay at the end of the song because it's scary.
Many twists and turns, though, for the happy outcome.
And then it's long, too. You sure you want me to do this?
It's a lovely story.
Rudy is a cat of silk and fur and suave demeanor, but his intellect is not the very best. On the night of which I speak, we had finished up our dinner, and my husband Rich was clearing our repast. He threw the salmon in the sink, then turned his gaze for just a blink, and then he hollered, and I turned to him aghast. The cat has caught his head in the disposal. The salmon skin was just the bait to lure him to insinuate his head in the incinerator. Rudy's in the clink. I gathered up my wits and I slathered on some Crisco and a little dab of Johnson's baby suds. I was thinking I could grease him up and slide him from the trap, but the portly little body wouldn't budge. Then Rudy's brother Lowell began to nip and lick and howl at his sibling who was swimming in the sludge. The cat was caught, his head in the disposal. Who can you call up late at night to ask for help with such a plight? Your plumber, sure, he'll set it right. Dave will save the day. Dave was glad to talk Rich calmly through the fine points of disposal deconstruction, but we failed to free the cat. And 1-800-INCINERATOR won't respond on Sunday night, no matter what they tell you in the ads. We resorted to the digits of the desperate 911, and I settled in to have a little chat. My cat has caught his head in the disposal. Don't worry, ma'am, we'll take the son, and Officer Mike and Officer Tom. If they can't handle it, no one can. Help is on the way. The cops arrived at midnight, cat lovers, everyone, and they surveyed the situation in a second. Soon Rich and Mike and Tom were huddled underneath the sink with a tiny saw to cut the flange on Rudy's neck. And I sat with Rudy on the brink, breathing deeply, not to think of the grinding of the saw blade in the depth. The guys exposed the guts of the disposal, and Rudy's face appeared to us, a visage that's so dear to us, but he wasn't out of danger, cause his neck was in the ring. They couldn't cut the flange without endangering the cat, and so the next step was to lift the kitchen sink. Officer Mike has got a little plumbing business on the side, and he set to work as quick as you could think. The guys were having quite a time capping off the plumbing lines. By 1 a.m. the pipes were all unlinked. The cat was still encased in the disposal. They turned the sink up on its side so head and body could align, but still too much he was not inclined. Rudy's in a bind. The cops had done all they could do, but Rudy's paws were turning blue. He had to see a doctor right away. Mike knew about a clinic with an all-night vet to visit, and he said that he could lead us to the place. So Rich got in the driver's seat, I crawled in back with the kitchen sink and Rudy and the disposal on my lap. As we took off, I thought I'd comfort Rudy with my touch, and I reached around so he could smell my hand. And that loving little tabby chomped down on my finger badly, and he clamped it in his jaws and held it fast. I yelled aloud in pain, and Rich pulled over in a panic. What's the matter? You okay? I answered, no, the cat has got his jaws around my pinky. I knew I would survive the bruise. We pulled again behind the cruiser, racing down the avenue, searching for the vet. The cop pulled over in a parking lot behind a church. We pulled beside him, and Rich said, Mike, where's the vet? And the officer responded, who is Mike and who are you? And what's the reason you've been tailing me tonight? Rich pointed to the back seat where I grimly smiled and gnashed my teeth. And once again, my saga did relate. My cat has caught his head in the disposal. Our third policeman wasn't busy. I'll lead you to the vet, says he. And there was Mike all in a tizzy. Where the heck were you? We carried Rudy and the sink and the disposal in, and we were glad to be received without a smirk. Rudy's temperature and oxygen were low. He was in shock, and the doctor and the staff went right to work. I couldn't help but cringe when they stuck in the syringe and the pudgy little body slumped inert. The cat was slithered out of the disposal. They looped his neck with KY jelly, pulled his greasy body till he popped out of his collar and was free from sink at last. The crew sprang into action. IV fluids were attached, and little socks and blankets warmed him in his bed. Hot water bottles were applied, a blow dryer to warm the punky spike of fur upon his tawny head. Rich and I got home at 4 a.m., sipped martinis, went to bed, awakened by a newsman with a query. Do you have a cat who caught his head in the disposal? The blotter, the policeman keeps us something about a kitchen sink and a cat who clearly didn't think. How's Rudy, by the way? The story spread throughout the town and traveled all the world around, but fame has not affected Rudy's thinking. Our new disposal has a cover, and I know I find it odd that Rudy still is seen to prowl around the brink. You would imagine he'd recall with every shiver of his soul that magic evening he adorned the kitchen sink. The cat who caught his head in the disposal the night that Rudy was detained, $1,000 went down the drain, and the stalwart vet can now exclaim he's seen the kitchen sink. And that's the truth. It was not my cat, but it was such an excellent story.
And yeah, I was reading, I pulled out the CD, and Faith Petrick sent you that story.
Yeah, and then I actually got hold of I wanted to make sure it was a true story before I bothered to go to the trouble of making a song out of it.
Well,
so I got hold of the woman who owned the cat, and she told me more. She sent me pictures of Rudy and Lowell, his brother.
Rudy's a really sweet cat. I was looking cattail songs of the feline persuasion, I looked at Rudy on the inside, Rudy has that look of a cat that could do. Rudy kind of looks like Mimsy, our cat. We have two cats that are sisters, and they're totally different.
Like people.
Yeah, they're totally. You know, you would never think they were siblings.
There were more twists and turns that Cindy left out, actually, and kind of condensed the song. There were still more things
happened.
Started
out as an hour. No.
You know, and I'm not asking you to do this song, but that CD reminded me, people love Guide Cats for the Blind. People love that song.
That was a poem by Les Barker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a character he is, my gosh.
I guess it's been set to music a couple times. He's got a CD that somebody else did.
Yeah, I think we do. We may have that somewhere. Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson are here. They're from Bennington, Vermont, and they're traveling through now. We were trying to remember, it's been at least 5 years since they were last on the Saturday Light Brigade, because in a couple weeks it'll be 5 years been in this location, and I know they haven't been here before. I do hope, if you like their music, that you'll consider going to CompassRoseMusic. Couldn't remember if we had to have a music in there or not. CompassRoseMusic.com.
Or SteveGillette.com.
Or SteveGillette.com or CindyMangson.com.
Gillette's easier to spell.
It all takes. Or just look for Google Steve and Cindy.
We are not on Facebook because
we're Googleable.
There's too many ways for the world to come at us already.
Oh, that's right.
We don't tweet either, I don't think.
Yeah, I just realized I haven't been tweeting as much as I should be. I try to. I do try to tweet.
It's hard enough to drive. We don't.
I know.
There's so much to do, just maintenance.
It's hard. I need a social organizer for
you. Need a second wife.
Just for the sites.
Somebody your wife needs a wife.
Exactly.
I feel like we're retreating back to a quieter existence.
I'm waiting to woof on Woofer. I think that'll be a much better.
Can you woof on Woofer?
We'll see. Somebody's going to come up with that, I bet.
We love being in touch with everybody.
New. As soon as you learn the current, when there's something new, so we've given up on
it. You need a teenager to really clue you in, yeah.
Perfect. Well, I'm just so glad you're here, and I do hope you'll consider going online. You can go to our website too to find them. We have a link there, but they just don't come much better than Steve and Cindy.
Oh no,
let's risk
our credibility by doing something that may challenge that. I don't know. I was thinking about a disaster song, a song about the hurricane that we.
Really? Okay.
Well, it would wake us up. We were just talking about Florida, and Cindy and I like to go to Florida in January after we've paid our dues through the end of the year in Vermont. Then we start to think of warmer climes. And
Steve's a Californian originally, and I got to get him out of the Northeast at some point in the winter.
We love the winter, but after the holidays, it's kind of gotten to be more of the same sort of thing. So we head down. And in a little place in Key West, we found a little tiny museum there devoted to the building of the railroad that Henry mm-hmm. Flagler built. Have mm-hmm. you been to that?
Yes, I have.
Isn't that
tiny,
a great
yeah.
tiny? And we bought a book called The Last Train to Paradise about the building of the railroad, but also about the hurricane 1935 that destroyed the railroad. And this song is about the workers that were there with the WPA. There were 650 men building a highway alongside the railroad, and they were in terrible jeopardy. So we love to sing about disasters in warm places when it's wintertime in Vermont. So this is called Hurricane. September 1935 on Matacumba Key. Trapped between the railroad tracks and the unforgiving sea. 650 workers with the WPA. When the road boss brought the warning that a storm was on the way. Everyone will tell you when the mercury is falling, you got to get out, 'cause nothing will remain. They had nowhere to run. There was no higher ground. There was nothing to do but hold on. Hope to God the company sent the train. It was a hurricane, a hurricane, with the rising wind and the driving rain and the wall of water that took out 40 miles of roadbed. 400 souls on Mr. Flagler's train. They put together a special at Homestead Yard. Plenty of room for everyone aboard. They backed her all the way down the Western Extension. But with the bridges out, there was no way to reach the men at Matacumbe. There were people running everywhere, shouting above the wind, the wailing of the wires and the rumble of the engine. Save as many as you can and reach for the throttle. And the wave like a mountain rose up and swept them all away. It was a hurricane, a hurricane, with nails in the wind and rocks in the rain and the wall of water that took out 40 miles of roadbed, 400 souls on Mr. Flagler's train. It was a hurricane, with the howling wind and the drowning rain and the wall of water. It took out 40 miles of roadbed, 400 souls on Mr. Flagler's train.
Steve Gillette and Cindy Mangson playing together. Cindy, when did you pick up the concertina, and what drove you to it?
Early 80s, I heard a woman named Wendy Grossman play concertina, and I had seen Alistair Anderson play. And it just seemed like everybody played a stringed instrument, and it was really nice to have something else. And my first instrument was piano, and I really think of the English concertina as kind of a keyboard. So,
yeah,
and it's really nice. As I said, it's just nice to have something besides a string. It really wakes up the sound a little bit.
Yeah, it blends in so well, and I think sometimes people don't even realize what they're hearing when they hear a concertina.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're on the radio, it's just a little octagonal.
Yes, two benzene rings with a bellow.
that explains it.
Yeah, it's two.
It's a little polite accordion.
Yeah,
with buttons on each side. And it's not a treble and bass side. It's just the scale walks up left and right. You just learn the pattern like you do on any keyboard. It seems really odd at first, but it's actually very logical. And that particular fingering system in the English concertina was designed by a man named Charles Wheatstone.
I believe so. Wheatstone, the man who developed the Wheatstone Bridge.
Really?
Electronics, yeah.
So I was wondering about that, actually.
Yeah. And I have two concertinas. Yeah. The older one was made in the 1870s, and it's a Wheatstone, and he might have made it himself, for all I know.
Wow.
This is a Wheatstone from 1878.
They were popular, and they came in different ranges, and people would have concertina orchestras.
Yeah, if you're wondering about size, it's picture maybe a two-pound coffee can, octagonal or hexagonal.
Yep. I had to look and see.
Rather than round, but it's it's relatively small, and they just sound
This one has rosewood.
Go to a site called the Button Box, buttonbox.com, and you can see what they look like. And they sell and repair every kind of accordion. Every kind of reed instrument, really, free reed instrument.
They've tuned these for us. They
will rent concertinas by mail if you want to try one out. They're an amazing little two-person shop.
There is a big pool in Lawrenceville operated by our city. Our city has a lot of pools here in Pittsburgh, and this pool has been closed for a while. So the residents of the city about a month ago decided to have an accordion pool party, and they had 14 or 15 accordion players in the empty
pool
yeah, that's cool. And dancing, and it was
it's like getting a bunch of bagpipes in there. Yeah, I love accordions. Some people just play amazingly well.
Oh, well, there's, bagpipes, banjo players, accordion, sometimes drummers. There's a whole universe of teasing that goes on.
Some of us have to play the despised instruments.
Banjo, yeah.
And show that they should not be despised.
Perfect.
We almost borrowed Ken Batista's banjo, but we decided that somebody might break in and leave another one in the car, so
it's got a beautiful banjo.
Yeah, it's got perfect pitch.
Oh, there you go.
Especially when it's thrown towards the dumpster, they say.
when it lands on an accordion, I know.
We love banjos.
No, I didn't say that.
Actually, we were amazed to find quite a few closet banjo players last night. Quite a few people admitted to having played banjo and being interested in banjo.
Pittsburgh has a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think of ourselves as the Paris of Appalachia.
I like that.
Well, I think
that, yeah.
Pittsburgh has got quite a bit going on these days.
Yeah, and a lot of people with music in their family histories and backgrounds. Yeah. I want to be careful. We probably have time for two more songs, I think, if
it's
you're okay. I want to be sure we don't talk our time away. Steve Gillette and Cindy Magson here. Visiting, and it's just such a treat.
Cindy has one she learned from Tom Taylor that's a great story.
One I don't quite know yet, but Tom Taylor lives up in Rochester, New York, and he writes wonderful songs and pretty much keeps them a secret.
And Tom Taylor was the one who hired the trio and me to come to play at that little festival where we met in 1988. And he introduced the trio for the first time.
So you think of one more song, and I'll do this one. This is a pretty fast little song. Take the square wooden end of an old orange crate, pull out the nail, save mid the straight, give a bit of a pencil, a little more life, whittle it a point with a pocket knife, draw a great big X with a ruler there, corner to corner on the wooden square, right in the center where the two lines touch, tap a nail part way just so much. Grandpa made the wheel, Grandpa made the wheel, it was nearly magic. It was round and real. My grandpa made the wheel. Tie the end of a string to the nail in the middle. Tie the other end to a pencil so it'll just about reach the edge of the wood. Check to be sure that the knots are good. Now swing that pencil like a carousel. Then circle all around the nail. Perfect curve, not a flaw. Pull the nail, it's time to saw. Grandpa made the wheel, Grandpa made the wheel. It was nearly magic, it was round and real. My Grandpa made the wheel. Lift the little jigsaw from its hook on the wall, gotta get it ready to rise and fall. See that the blade is sharp and tight. Saw along the circle, keep the line in sight. When sawdust hides the line from view, little apprentice knows what to do. A huff and a puff and it's all okay. The grandchild blows the dust away. Grandpa made the wheel, Grandpa made the wheel. It was nearly magic. It was round and real. My grandpa made the wheel. Now use sandpaper and a good wood file to smooth out the edges. Stand back and smile. Just one thing will finish it. Drill a hole in the center with a brace and a bit. Put it on a wagon, put it on a cart. Hang it on the wall as a work of art. Think how proud and smart I feel. I helped Grandpa make the wheel. Grandpa made the wheel. Grandpa made the wheel. It was nearly magic. It was round and real. My grandpa made the wheel. Edison made the light bulb. Superman's made of steel. Einstein made us relative. Grandpa made the wheel. I just love that little song.
It's a beautiful song. Is it Tom
Taylor.
Einstein made us relative.
Has he recorded? Sure.
Very reluctantly.
He's recorded. I don't think he's released it yet. He's a little bit of a perfectionist, which you have to let go of at some point in order to release a recording.
You do. Nothing would be done if we waited.
We're working on him.
We've sung a bunch of his songs. He wrote Manifest Destiny, which we always thought was a great one.
He's got a song called Mystery Train, which is it's a quiz for the audience, and it's the whole story of the Orient Express, and the audience has to guess what the train is at the end of the song, and the last verse is just a list of all the trains in every folk song you can think of.
Oh, neat. It's
a really neat song.
I've heard that. Speaking of trains, while you were playing, representing the Twitter community, were the good folks at a place... Well, their website is Mr. Train, but they are in Knox, Pennsylvania, listening. And they make all of the little scale trees and houses and things. And last week we were talking with them on the air early in the morning when we were playing puzzles and games. I said, what do you have planned for today? We've got to make 60,000 trees. And this is before I knew what she was referring to. And I'm thinking, all right, you and Joyce Kilmer, you've got to make 60,000 trees. I'm not sure how this is going to happen.
I always thought they used broccoli for that.
parsley, broccoli, all those things. But anyway, they just sent a tweet, and I'm sure they're enjoying hearing you this morning.
I hope so. We got to ride on a historic steam train in Alamosa, New Mexico this summer for a couple weekends, singing at a place up at 9,300 feet. The train takes you up the mountain, and then we had a little folk festival up there.
And we rode in the club car from the old city of New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you playing Penny a Point?
No.
But that was the spot, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me thank you both for being here.
Thank you for inviting us. And,
thank you. It's great. Very nice to be able to visit.
And please, I'll repeat their website again and also the information about the Erie concert coming up in case you might be able to make it there. Steve Gillette, Cindy Maxson.
I noticed the John Henry book outside. This is a hero song about a man who truly was a hero, but he was a dear friend of ours, a man named Gamble Rogers. And we like to remember Gamble in this song. He went into the ocean water to help to save a drowning man and unfortunately was lost himself. But Gamble was a great guitar player and a great storyteller, and this is our song about Gamble Rogers. Well, I remember Gamble Roger. He was a gentleman with a guitar. He's gone on a little further now, a little deeper in the stars. He went down into the water to help to save a drowning man. And he left this world holding out his hand. He was a master at the microphone, had a subtle wisdom with a southern tone. Mississippi John and Agamemnon Jones, he had that magic in his hand. Play the old song and they still ring true. He was a poet and philosopher too. He said, life is just what happens to you. while you're making other plans.
I remember Gamble Rogers. He was a gentleman with a guitar. He's gone on a little further now, a little deeper in the stars. He went down into the water to help to save a drowning man. And he left this world holding out his hand. He had the gift of innocence and a fondness for the key of E. He always had that air of thankful dignity. From the trade winds to the troubadour, he was a celebrated raconteur. Left him laughing by the backstage door, left him crying out for more. Gamble Rogers. He was a gentleman with a guitar. He's gone on a little further now, a little deeper in the stars. He went down into the water to help to save a drowning man. And he left this world holding out his hand, and he left this world holding out his hand.
Steve Gillette and Cindy Manxon, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be with you.